Welcome to the Beacon Blitz Podcast, a weekly recap of the biggest moments from high school football in the greater Akron area. Brought to you by the sports reporters of the Beacon Journal.
This is Cliff Hickman from the FridayNightOhio.com podcast and the Canton Repository, and we're joining you for week one of the high school football playoff season. I'm joined by Chris Easterling from the Massillon Independent and Michael Bevan from the Akron Beacon Journal. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
Doing great.
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, we're all hanging in there. It was an exciting night of football. We were all out at games. A lot of great scores tonight. I guess, what are our takeaways from the games we were at tonight, Chris? I know you had one of the more lopsided matchups of the night involving Massillon.
You know, and I guess that's a good place to start because, you know, this is the first year. We obviously had the expanded playoffs last year, but it was a COVID-related thing where they just basically said, we're shortening the regular season, we're letting everybody who wants in. But this year, this is the first time where the top 16 all qualified. And I think we kind of saw, at least the game I was at, demonstrated kind of the folly of that idea. I mean, you got Massillon. Massillon wins 76-22, but it's 62-16 at halftime. It's a clear mismatch. I mean, to be perfectly frank, Massillon played Euclid, which finished winless. They played them in week seven, and I think Euclid was a better football team than the one they played tonight in this Columbus Independence team. But that said, you do look around, and I think I mentioned this off air, there were 16 teams that were seeded 9 or lower that won tonight across the state, one of which included number 9 Poland going to Fairless, which is number 8 in Division 4 Region 13, and they won, not just won. They won in dominant fashion, 35-14, in a game that was 28-0 at halftime. So, you know, I get the arguments for adding teams to the playoffs. When they they had mentioned it a year ago, they were talking about this was supposed to be 12, with the top 4 being, you know, getting byes. But then this past spring, they said, no, we'll just make it 16. And, I guess it's one of those things. It's the first year where everybody's just getting used to it. So we're going to have the extremes of opinions, but I'm going to need to see more, but I need to see more examples than, you know, a 16 seed that's a Milan Edison team that's been in the state semifinals multiple times. Or a 15 seed in Kettering Alter that's got multiple state titles or something like that before I, you know, really buy all the way in. But hey, they got some upsets but at the same time we got what a lot of people expected to see, which was a lot of blowouts also.
Well, you mentioned something really interesting there, Chris. A lot of the so-called upsets we're seeing though are teams that are pretty familiar with the playoffs. Even Poland, a number 9 seed going to an 8. Poland is like a perennial playoff team. It's not a surprise to see them going on to the second round, probably no matter what seed they are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of looking down at the list. D1 Region 2, the 14 seeded Dublin Kaufman Shamrocks. I mean, come on, that's a traditional heavyweight or at least a very high caliber program in the Columbus area. You know, Toledo St. John's is a 12 in division two region 6. You know, you got Chaminade Julianne's got a state title in his past and has been successful over the years. Alter, I mentioned Milan Edison, Wasion, which knocked off, you talk about a bad day for a league, Pac-7 head. Went 0-4 today. They still have Manchester to play tomorrow, but Tryway and Tryway was co-champs with Fairless. They also got upset. Wasion knocked off Tryway. So, but Wasion's a team that's in the past, has made the playoffs and had deep runs. So it's, again, it's a very small sample size, and we tend to overreact to small sample sizes, but I guess I'm going to be curious to see what tomorrow, the second day of the playoffs, what it shows, because I guess it's still a work in progress in terms of my opinion about it, but I'm still sort of leaning toward, this still just feels like, quite frankly, a money grab by the OHSAA.
Yeah, that's certainly kind of the way I was trending on that as well. And obviously something to keep an eye on. Like you said, it's a small sample size. Maybe there'll be something tomorrow or in the coming weeks that really changes our mind about things and opens our eyes to what the thought process was. But until that time, I'd say we're just a little skeptical of the new format thus far.
Yeah, I'd be curious, Mike, if he has any thoughts about just sort of his takeaways, and his general thoughts about this as well.
The politically correct answer is by to say it presents more opportunities for student athletes to have the chance to play in the playoffs, and then the thought of you look at a lot of scores and there's a lot of blowouts. So yeah, it does look like an opportunity for the OHSA to make some money and kind of recoup the financial situation that was lost when the COVID-19 pandemic started. And, we didn't have a basketball state tournament. We didn't have a wrestling state tournament back in 2000. When was that? 2019? How long has it been going on
2020,
in our world?
Feels like
2020. It started 19. Yeah, it feels like it's hard to even remember when there wasn't COVID-19, unfortunately. But, there was a lot of blowouts. I mean, looking at in Summit County, a lot of the teams that were higher seeds, won comfortably. Archbishop Hoban, Nordonia, Hudson, Walsh Jesuit, Barberton, they all won, by wide margins. Stowe, same thing, won by a wide margin. I did have a close game, though, between a number one seed Norton and a number 16 seed Copley in Division III, Region 10, and it was a pretty entertaining game. Two neighboring schools, Copley jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and then Norton ended up rattling off 21 points in a row. They go on to win 28-21. They remain undefeated. They're our only undefeated team in Summit County. So that was a very good game. Both teams played really hard. It was a good matchup. Copley came in with a kind of a young group, a quarterback to one, Owens, who rushed for two touchdowns, also threw a touchdown pass, and Norton won with their physical brand of football. They ran the ball real well, scored four rushing touchdowns by four different guys, Peyton Gardner, Reed Beto, Cooper Napolo, and Noah Willig. So for those guys, that was a huge win. This is believed to be the first time that Norton's ever been 10-0 in football. They were 9-0 back in 1959. Obviously, there were no playoffs back then. So they're having quite the season, and they advance to play next week. But in general, a lot of the matchups were lopsided. And, we'll see how, Chris was saying, we'll see how it goes from here with tomorrow's results and then just next year to see, how the competitive matchups go.
How much?
And I had another one that was somewhat competitive tonight as well. If you're looking at an argument for the expanded playoffs, I had Jackson and Strongsville over at Jackson. Strongsville's missing nine starters. Literally, they had a line of student athletes on crutches with braces. It was pretty crazy. The whole bench is just lined with guys that unfortunately couldn't play. And they actually went into halftime tied at 7 with Jackson before the Polar Bears were able to outscore them 28-10 the rest of the way. Brendan Craig had a big night for Jackson. He ended up over 200 yards. And then the big surprise was Michael Novak. The guy is a linebacker for Strongsville. He is the fifth string running back. That's how far down they were because of injuries. he manages to run for 265 yards and two touchdowns on 28 carries. And I guess one of the big storylines to watch is McKinley defeated Solon. McKinley handed Jackson its first loss of the season, 29-28, a couple of weeks ago. It's been a long time since Jackson has defeated McKinley. Brendan Craig told me he thought the number was 13 years exactly, and they're pretty fired up to get another shot at the Bulldogs, so I'm sure that's going to be a big matchup in the area. So, the expanded playoffs are producing some good matchups within communities. I guess that's one positive thing you could say. Chris, you had something to add there?
No, I mean, I agree, because, you know, I was thinking, you know, up in Mike's area, neck of the woods, you know, the expanded playoffs have set up a St. Ignatius second round matchup, you know, which could be intriguing. You know, Maslin's getting a rematch with Westerville South. Hoover Green, speaking of two local teams, Stark Summit teams, both won big tonight. Hoover over Worthington Kilborn and Green over Marion Harding. And we'll get a rematch of that one, which I'll be interested to see, because, you know, Trey Martin missed some time for Green during the regular season. I wonder how much. Clearly, it seems like he was healthy tonight, so I wonder how much that's going to help in a rematch against the Vikings.
Green is an interesting team. I saw them in Week 10. Trevor Van Horn, very accurate. Not only do they have Trey Martin, they have freshman Antonio Martin, and he is making a lot of plays for a freshman. He doesn't play like one. Quinn Simmer is another athlete that was out with injury since Week 4 for Green. They got him back last week. You mentioned Trey Martin's back playing. So they've had some talent. They had some injuries, but they're getting those guys back. I think that's a very intriguing matchup with Hoover next week. Sorry there, Michael. You had some thoughts on that one?
Oh, no. I was going to say that Green, I watched them at the beginning of the season. They're an impressive team to watch. They move very well offensively. With some of the close matchups, I was looking here, lower seeds, St. Vincent St. Mary here in Summit County was a lower seed. They ended up losing by a field goal in the final seconds to Dover. And then the two City Series teams in Akron Public Schools, Firestone and East, both went on the road. East lost to Chardon, the defending state champion in Division III. And then Firestone lost to Cleveland Benedictine. But they were, you know, relatively close games. They weren't total lopsided score. So for those guys, I know from talking to kids at Firestone East earlier this week, they were really excited about the opportunity. So, you know, for them to get in after last year, an abbreviated season, for those guys, this was a big deal. So they were able to go out there and compete and everything. But yeah, there were some good games, some close games, but obviously, you know, you look at Archbishop Hovind, Stowe, Hudson, Walsh, they all win comfortably, like I said, Nordonia. And I didn't see these games, obviously, but I'm assuming that, you know, the coaches cleared the bench, played, you know, the first string for a half or so, and then second, third string, it's your time to go on a Friday night. So, you know, like we said, we'll see how tomorrow plays out. Hopefully, you know, there'll be some good games. And then next week, we should have some really good matchups across the area.
All right, gentlemen, any closing thoughts on night one of the first week of high school football playoffs?
No, I think Mike summed it up nicely.
Thank you. As I was summing it up, my phone I had on the charger and the charging device was falling off the table in the background. Not sure if you guys heard that or not, but I tried to continue on with the thought of what I was doing. But, I don't have much else to say. Hopefully, the weather tonight was really nice, actually, for October. Tomorrow, the forecast, we'll see how things play out. We'll see if the rain will stay away, but I'll be at the Manchester football game tomorrow. Are you guys going out to any games?
No, soccer in the afternoon, and although there is a matchup, I think that, you know, between our two areas, I'm really intrigued by Central Catholic going to Mogador in a Mogador's the 4 seed, and Central's the 13 seed. That's just not your typical. Where we talk about where these expanded playoffs do help, you know, I think that is a matchup. Central plays obviously a brutally rugged schedule with a lot of Division 1s, 2s, and 3s on it. And so I'm intrigued to see what the Crusaders could do against obviously a really good Mogador team and you know, really a battle of two small school, storied small school football programs.
Yeah, and I'm gonna guess, and I think it'll be an accurate guess, that our Gannett brethren over at the Record Courier will be covering that game. Or well, actually, you know what, the Repository, are you guys covering that game tomorrow?
No, I believe RC. Alan Moff's going to be over there for the RC.
Okay. There we go. Yeah, so I'll also have a soccer matchup as well. And, you know, this is a busy time with soccer, volleyball, football. There's a lot going on. So it's fun, and we'll see how things shake out. But that is definitely a good matchup.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I am not anywhere tomorrow. I covered soccer last night, Jackson Girls won their 10th district title in 11 years. And then some of the local wildlife took out my car on the way back. We'll just leave it at that. So that's in the shop. One of the hazards of this job that you just don't think about sometimes.
Yep.
Well, be careful out there.
That goes for everybody. So, well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Friday Night Ohio podcast. We will catch you next week. For Cliff Hickman, Chris Easterling, and Michael Bevan, have a good night.